Good morning, church family, on Sunday the 19th of July. I hope you're well and you know God's saving grace in your life. God has saved us by the blood of Jesus. We're cleansed of sin and we're made citizens of his kingdom. A few weeks ago now, Mark mentioned waiting on guidance and guidelines from the government about being able to meet back together as church in the building. And though there have been some easing of the lockdown and public gatherings restrictions, we are still in a place of waiting. We don't want to rush in things, want to make sure we have everything in order and everything planned and prepared for. And we want to be vigilant and compassionate to the least of those in the community. So until we're able to meet together in a safe way, and with everything in place and with more people than the current restrictions allow for, we're going to keep on gathering in this way, online, over our website, over the Facebook page and over the phone for anyone that doesn't have an internet connection. But please do keep us in your prayer, the staff team, the senior leadership team, everyone involved in all the plans and preparations, the enabling team and the worship team, keep them all in your prayers over the coming weeks of preparation. We have a great service this morning. We've got the Bart family going to lead us in some worship. Mark's going to share a word with us from Genesis, continuing our focus on the story of Abraham. But before that, we have a couple of clips from the wider church family. It's been a busy week in church life. We have had the holiday club on Hawaii at home, and that's been looking at the story of Gideon in creative and amazing ways. And that's been zoomed out to households all across East Kilbride. So Ross is going to share a little bit about what they've been up to this week.
Aloha. Oros, Hawaii.
It was lovely, it was so warm.
It was fabulous.
Oh, my tan.
I had to fake tan at Ross, it's a bit cheeky. I'm not really doing too well. But it has been a great week, hasn't it?
It has been a brilliant week.
We have had 45 children throughout the week. Loads of fun. What's your favourite bit?
Favourite bit was watching all the kids dancing when we were singing songs.
I think so, definitely. That was one of my favourite things. Just actually seeing all the pictures of all the amazing crafts and stuff they were doing. Tell you what, we sit back and just only watching a bit of
all
some of the pictures.
Put fun cream back on.
Yeah, let's go. Thank you everybody in church for supporting and praying for us and come and enjoy some of the children.
Aloha! Aloha!
Thank you. Good morning, church family. Hope this finds you all well. My name's Graham, and myself and my wife Dorothy have been coming to Eastmead now for just under 7 years. But we just moved to Stuartfield last year in September. So I've been busy during lockdown working in my garden. So I just thought I'd give you a wee tour, let you see what I've been up to. So here's the front garden, and I haven't done much here, just a little acer, just the right hand side there. Made this figure of eight to hide some stank covers that were in the front lawn. And in the window here, you'll see a lovely little rainbow. Thank you for the NHS, which was made by Kirsty Warren. So thank you, Kirsty, for that. And coming down the side of the driveway, we've got a little flower bed, which is just filling out a wee bit now. Large pile of rubble. So if anyone wants some free rubble, please come and help yourself. Just waiting for the tip to open up so I can get rid of that. A few shrubs here at the back. And round this side we've got some busy lizzies and a little winter jasmine, which will hopefully cover the trellis there in due time. Coming through to the back garden, you'll see my shed just at the back there, which has been imported all the way from France. Very good it is too. Oh, and here's the lady of the manor enjoying her favourite position. Morning,
hi,
dear.
Hi everybody, miss you all. Need to chat sometime, just come over.
Oh, there we are, open invitation to the whole church. Please don't all come at once, but you're most welcome if you want to come and see us. This is our little flower bed, and prior to lockdown, this was all just mud and grass, so this has just been created since then. And I've been busy doing the paths and the beds and this little rockery, which has got one or two little gaps still to fill, but coming on nicely. I also made this raised bed here, which has got some begonias in it, trailing, a couple of trailing ones as well, so that's starting to bloom nicely, which is just right in front of our sunroom, which is a lovely place to sit and just look out into the garden in the colder days. Over here we've got a little couple of hanging troughs with trailing petunias and trailing begonias. Little herb garden just in the corner there, wee selection of herbs. And down here we've got some sweet peas. A little bit disappointed with the variety of sweet peas. Pink and white seems to be about it, but next year I've got some packets of seeds with a lot more variety, so should be some more colours next year. And down here I've put in a little seated area, which is a lovely little spot for your morning coffee, because the sun comes in here from early morning and you just sit here and enjoy your coffee. And there's a wee bug hotel there, which is empty at the moment, so if you know any little bugs that are looking for somewhere nice to stay, send them up this way. This is a little bit of a wild garden at the back, which I'm just kind of letting to have a bit of a free hand, and it's coming along, still a few gaps to fill, but that'll take time. And down here we've got our bird feeders. Had a great selection of birds, goldfinches, various forms of great tit, blue tit, finches. I've had a great spotted woodpecker up here once and twice. Sadly we did have a little incident between a magpie and a chaffinch, which didn't end well for the chaffinch, but that's nature for you. But it's just a bit sad what happens in your back garden. But it did remind me of that verse in Matthew that talks about God knowing when a little sparrow falls to the ground and how much more important we are to him than many sparrows. So I'll just leave that thought with you. And just in the back corner there you can see our little dining area and a few lights which come on at night just to add a little bit of colour. So have a good week, folks, and take care. Bye.
Thank you so much for those clips. It is such an encouragement and a blessing to be able to see each other and hear from each other in this way. I think those of us who are able to get out and about and just go for the weekly shopping, walk the dog and get out the house, forget how long some people have been shielding and in isolation. I was just speaking to someone this week who lives alone and because of illnesses and whatnot has been in lockdown in the house themselves since December 2019 and it's July 2020. That's a massive amount of time, and these updates and being able to hear and see from each other are such a blessing and encouragement that truly build up God's church. So my usual weekly plea, please do send in a short couple of minute video of how God's blessed you. Maybe it's an app that's helped you in your spiritual life and your prayer life, maybe a book that God has used to really bless you, over this time, or just an update about what you've been up to throughout the lockdown, and you want to share that with the church family, please do send that in to the staff team. Just before I pass this over to the Burt family to lead us in some worship, and then Mark will share with us from God's word, I want to read for us some of Daniel. Praise be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells in him. We worship a sovereign God, a God in control of all things. All praise be to him. I'll hand over now to the wonderful Burt family.
Soul. we worship you, Father. You are our guardian. You are the one. And we want to fix our eyes on you. So as we do so just now, just come and speak to us through your word. Mighty Spirit of God, come speak to our hearts. Pierce anything that's standing in the way of us hearing you. We want to hear you. We want to be changed by you for the honor of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you to the worship team. Thank you to the Burt family for leading us in worship together. Great to have you connecting with us today. It was just so encouraging as well to see that video from the holiday club that we were able to do. Thank you to all the team that were involved in that. Just great innovation to be able to do something like this during this time that we're going through. Again, if you need any help, please do contact us. And Mary, our office manager, has been on furlough. We've now unfurloughed Mary, so she's back in the office Monday to Friday, 9 to 1:30. You can get Mary on the phone, 01355-249672, or email the church office. And so please, if you're needing help, please do get in contact with us. Today, we're in week 3 of our series, The Faith to Go. We're looking at the lives of Abraham and Sarah. These two people, these two ordinary people who lived extraordinary lives of faith. And we're just walking through their lives and just seeing what God's going to speak into our own lives as we walk out today our life of faith and following Jesus. Today we're going to be in Genesis 14. It is an incredible story that could easily grace the script of any Hollywood movie, action movie. There's villains, there's victims, there's heroes, there's mysterious characters. But in essence, this story deals with a challenge that comes into Abraham's life. And right away, you know, we realise we can't connect with the details of the story, but we can connect with that big theme of walking through challenges. And we're going to see that Abraham's faith prepared him for the challenge that was ahead. Abraham's faith had him ready and had him going into action. And probably most importantly, we're going to see that actually his faith grows through the challenge that he has to deal with. And challenges, when we think about it, good or bad, are opportunities to grow. Now, there's been a lot of growing going on during lockdown. You know, some of you are so glad that the hairdressers are now open again and get your hair cut. It's grown wild. One of the things I have enjoyed seeing growing during lockdown has been the grass has just grown kind of wild and free. And so all these amazing kind of wild flowers that usually would be getting cut down have grown up. And when I see them, it reminds me of some of the holidays I've had in the Alps. And, you know, I've been up in the, I love the Alps, I love the mountains. And when you're up high, there's these beautiful kind of mountain kind of meadows that are just covered with long grass and wild mountain flowers. And when you see them, it's easy to forget that for many months of the year, they're actually covered in deep in snow and really challenging conditions. And it's not until the snow melts that the wild flowers and the wild grass kind of grows through. And challenges can be a bit like this in our own lives. You know, we're going to see how God grows Abraham's faith through his challenges. When I think about it in my own life, you know, few of the deepest challenges that I've faced in life have I gone looking for. And at times I have literally felt buried under snow because it's been so challenging. But when the snow has gone, I see that God has shaped me and grown me and made me more like him through the challenge. So as we head into Genesis chapter 14 then, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, I'm going to paraphrase some of it, but let me encourage you to read the whole of the chapter later on today. But let me just remind you where we left the story. Abraham and his nephew Lot, they've separated, Lot's moved into the plains of Jordan. He's living in Sodom. And Sodom and Gomorrah, we will come to them in a few weeks' time. But let me say for just now that In many ways, Sodom and Gomorrah represent a godless life and a culture where there are no boundaries and no limits to what people will do. And Lot is settled there. Abraham's in the land, but he still understands that he's a stranger, that he's a pilgrim, that God's got a bigger destiny for his life. But Lot has become a man of the land. He's settling into the culture. And in Genesis 14 then, we read what is really the first account of a war in the Bible. And you have these five cities of the Jordan Valley. And for 12 years, they have been subject to the four kings from the east. And they are led by this king called Chedorlaomer. And he's basically running a mob racket. He's basically making them pay him money, pay him goods, you know, sending him people in return for his protection from what? Protection from himself and these other three kings. So he's basically a bully along with these other three kings. And the five kings that have been subject to 12 years of this sort of oppression, they say, we've had enough of this. So they revolt against them. And the four kings are basically like, well, okay, if you're going to do that, we're going to come and attack you. And that's what happens. And the four beat the five and they take all their goods and all their people away and they start heading home. Now, what has this got to do with Abraham? Well, open your Bible, Genesis 14. Let me read to you from verse 12. They also carried off Abraham's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. Well, there's Abraham. He's in the land, but he's not of it. There's Lot. He's in and of the land. And so he gets caught up in this mess. He gets caught up in what happens. And we see here the challenge then that comes into Abraham's life. In verse 13, you look in your Bible. Abraham's just getting on with his life. He's living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite. He's, along with this Amorite and his two brothers, he's formed an alliance. And a messenger comes with the news. Your nephew Lot and all his family have been captured, carried off into slavery. You know, it happens like that, folks, doesn't it? Sometimes it's a phone call, it's a person, it's a text, some sort of message that just comes into our lives and propels us into a challenge that we were never expecting. So what do we see then from Abraham's life that we can apply to our lives today? Firstly, we see that he is prepared. Verse 14, when Abraham heard, that his relative had been taken captive, he called out 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit of them as far as Dan. That's quite a considerable distance. That phrase, born in his household, means not purchased. So what we have here are people that have joined Abraham's community. Yes, they serve him, but it's not forced labour. People have seen the sort of community that Abraham is building and have thought, I want to join that. I want to be part of that. And God, remember, Abraham is following the living God. And as God is shaping Abraham's life, therefore God is also shaping the community that this man is building. And I think there's a really exciting picture for us in that of the impact that the local church can have. You know, as we are a people who are actively being shaped by God, God will then draw people to a community like that. But we notice though that Abraham has been busy. He has trained 318 of these men. And I think what we have here is a man who was aware of his cultural setting and the challenges that could come. He was not naive to what was going on. He was aware of what might happen. He was aware of potential threats. Not that he was living in fear, but he just had an understanding of what was happening around him. And again, I think there's great wisdom and learning in this for us. you know, to have an understanding of what's going on around us, to be aware of what might happen and the challenges that might come along. You know, we know that there is such a thing as what we refer to as spiritual warfare. You know, we have an enemy that seeks to hinder us, an enemy that seeks to destroy all that Jesus would want to do in and through us in our lives, in his local church. And we need to be aware of that. And that's why in Ephesians 6, read Ephesians 6 later on today. That's where Paul, he talks about putting on the armour of God and putting it on every day so that we're prepared, so that we're equipped for the challenges that may come along. We need to be in training. You know, any army, often their training is on repeating the basics all the time, all the time. You know, we grow in our faith by just keeping the basic things in place. We talk about it all the time, reading our Bible, being in prayer, connecting with others, you know, seeking a deeper walk with God. So let me encourage you, you know, because some of what you're doing now, some of the spiritual practices, some of the ways that you're serving just now, it's actually preparing you for tomorrow. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe you're memorizing some Bible verses just now. You know, what you're doing there is depositing into your soul something that God will use potentially at a later time when a challenge comes along. You know, that great verse from Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You've got that deposited into your soul that when a challenge comes along, God will draw out his eternal word. And use that. You're being prepared for the challenges that may come. Secondly, though, in this text, we see Abraham move into action. Verse 15, he heads out, he divides up his forces. He's outnumbered. He attacks them. He routs the army, though. He chases them all the way to Damascus. That's probably about 100 miles. And all the goods are recovered. And they bring back Lot. You know, what we see here is faith in action. And I wonder where God is calling your faith into action today. I know in many ways, you know, some of you have been doing incredible things during lockdown. But maybe there's a neighbour that you've engaged with more during this time. That there's a next step that God is calling you to. But let me keep you and encourage you to you know, for your faith to be lived out in action, to be listening to God and to be obedient to what he's calling you to do. You know, when you think about some of the challenges we've faced for this pandemic, some of the challenges of injustice that we've been seeing, and you know, and I know many of you have been listening to God and just being obedient to him in faith to things that he would have you do. Some of it's just small acts of kindness that can have a big impact in people's lives. So we see that, you know, Abraham is prepared, but he also moves into action. But now we come in many ways to the climax of the story, and I want to read to you from verse 17 right the way through to the end of the story. After Abraham returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheveh, that is the kings of the valley. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abraham gave a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten, and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, Ani, Ashkel, and Mamre. Let them have their share." Grow through your challenges. We see the evidence of how Abraham's faith has grown as he, through this story. He encounters these two kings. One of them we've met already, the king of Sodom. But we've got this new character that comes in now, Melchizedek, the king of Salem. One offers him the spoils of war, which is really quite interesting and very strange, because actually it was Abraham who had conquered this enemy. It was Abraham that had captured these spoils. Who is this king then to offer them? To Abraham. The other comes, though, with bread and wine. Interesting that, isn't it? These are the symbols that Jesus would take years later to say to us, you know, bread and wine, take these and remember my sacrifice. Melchizedek comes with the blessing of God. What is happening here? Well, you see, Abraham rejects the king of Sodom and accepts Melchizedek. And in doing so, he's really making a powerful statement of faith. He's saying, you know, you take the things of the world, but first and foremost, I have God in my life, who has delivered me out of my enemy's hands. You see, the snow has melted and the challenge has passed. And Abraham has grown in faith and he worships God. And we see that and how he gives a tenth of everything to Melchizedek, but really he's given it to God. You know, I read a story this week in my devotions that Pete Gregg tells in his book, The Vision and the Vow. And he tells the story of how a distinguished art critic went to study a painting of the Italian Renaissance painter Lippi. It was a picture of Mary holding Jesus and other figures and other buildings and characters around Mary holding the baby Jesus. And this art critic looked at the picture and he was actually really quite troubled by the picture, as had many critics before him. Because this fantastic picture by this astonishingly talented artist seemed out of proportion. The people, the trees, the aspect, it just didn't seem right. And this art critic was looking at it and thinking, something's not right here. And then suddenly he had a revelation. He suddenly realised this picture wasn't meant to be hung in an art gallery for people to look at. This picture had been commissioned for a place of prayer. And so there, right in the middle of the art gallery, he got down on his knees and looked up at the picture. And suddenly everything in the picture that seemed out of proportion and out of perspective fell into place. And Nicky Gumbel, writing on this in the Bible in 1 Year Devotion, says this: it was not the perspective of the painting that had been wrong all these years. It was the perspective of the people looking at it. The right perspective is the position of worship. And see, this is the journey that Abraham has been on. He's been faced with a challenge, and he's now in the place of right perspective, where he sees God's hand at work and he worships him through giving. And this is why when we're together on a Sunday, we take an offering. It's an act of worship to God. But he has grown through the challenge, and this has deepened his life of worship. You know, maybe you're in a challenge right now. Maybe it's something that you've taken up, something that God's called you to, and you're finding it really difficult. Maybe it's something that's come unexpectedly into your life, like this came into Abraham's life. Well, you know, maybe at times we just need to get on our knees and look up and see that God is with us, and God is helping us, and God is strengthening us and growing through the challenge. But as we come to close, let's not avoid the elephant in the room. Most of you are probably thinking today, who is this guy, Melchizedek? I mean, he appears like a really important person. He's a king. He's a priest of the Most High God. He's mentioned elsewhere in the Bible, Psalm 110, Hebrews 7. There's quite a long section about him. Well, here's what I want to say in the time we've got left. A wee bit of history. Abraham, as we know, is the father of the Jewish nation, made up of 12 tribes. One of these tribes is the tribe of Levi. And they are known as the priestly tribe. It was the Levites that were the only tribe able to serve in the temple, where the people would come to worship God. And their role in many ways was to stand in the gap between God and the people. It was the Levites that made sacrifices for the people's sins. It was the Levites that took the thanksgiving offerings to God. It was the Levites, one of them could enter the Holy of Holies. If you did not belong to the house of Levi, then in many ways you had to stand at a distance. But there was a major flaw in this. The Levites themselves were not perfect people. And you know, you follow through the history of the nation of Israel, and they become pretty corrupt. In fact, they lead the people away from God. And so these priests themselves are in need of help. In fact, the world needed someone to stand in the gap between God and humankind. And who could it be? The Levites, none of them were perfect. Well, let's jump back to Melchizedek. We actually know very little about him. His genealogy or anything, we know nothing about. Hebrews 7 verse 3 tells us that. His name means King of Righteousness and King of Peace. So he's a king and he's a priest, and in many ways he's a model, he's a pattern of the coming Jesus who would be king and priest. And hundreds of years pass, and King David, looking back, he has an understanding of this. Speaking prophetically about Jesus, he says, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." See, there was a time coming when the descendants of Levi would no longer be needed. All the work of the temple, all the sacrifices, all that keeping a distance from the Holy of Holies and would stop because Jesus was coming. And in God's perfect timing, God sent his son. A prophet, yes. A king bringing in the reign of God's kingdom, yes. But also a priest who would forever open the way to God. Like Melchizedek, from a different line than the Levites. You know, on Good Friday, Jesus entered his priestly sanctuary, and it wasn't a wonderful temple. It was a hill called Golgotha. The altar wasn't some fine crafted table. It was the cross. And his body, his life, was the once and for all sacrifice for the sins of the world. He stood in the gap and made the way back for us to God. You know, if Jesus had been descended from the tribe of Levi, that would have been the end of it. But he's a son of God, the son of God. Hebrews 7 verse 16 tells us, a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, that's talking about the Levites, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. You see, death could not defeat Jesus. He is victorious. He's indestructible. And this is what is so amazing. And stick with me. I know this is a bit complex, folks, but stick with me. We're nearly there. Jesus, out of everyone who ever walked on this earth, is the only one who never needed a sacrifice to be made for him. Because he's God's son and he's perfect. Yet we read these words in Hebrews 7. Such a high priest truly meets our needs. This is talking about Jesus. The one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, now we're talking about the Levites, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. And then hear this. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. See, Jesus makes the way for us to come to God. There is only one mediator between humankind and God, and that is Jesus Christ. And he invites you to come to him today. Let me try and draw this all together for you. Melchizedek, he is the mysterious character that appears in this story. We hear about him in other places in the Bible. A lot of people have spent a lot of time trying to figure him out, but we don't know much about him. But what he does do is point us to Jesus, to the perfect priest who takes away the sins of the world. This is an incredible story, this, in Genesis 14. And Abraham, at the end of this story, we walk through it, we see him prepared. We see him training, we see him preparing his faith for what might come along. And that reminds us to stay in training, to keep drawing close to God, to be ready for whatever may come along. We see him going into action. And where is your faith in action today? Where's God calling your faith into action today? And at the end, we see him in that place of right perspective. You know, his challenge leads him into deeper worship and deeper commitment to God. You know, during this time, think about it, that we've been going through, many things seem out of perspective, don't they? Many things have changed and have to be done differently. But when we get on our knees before God and worship to him, then that changes our perspective of the challenges that we're going through. You know, challenges do come. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Some of them we choose to enter. Some of them we never go looking for. But through them all, God works in us and changes us and makes us more like him. You know, we're going to finish with a song in a moment called Living Hope. And the chorus goes, "Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free." That's Jesus, only Jesus. "Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me." You know, we share in the inheritance of our indestructible Saviour. "You have broken every chain." Jesus is looking to do that in your life today. If you feel chained down by something, he looks to break it. He's got the power to break every chain. "There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope." Let me encourage you to use this song as a declaration to God this morning. He is our living hope, and there is no other like him. So let us pray together, and then I'll hand back to the Burt family, and they'll lead us in a closing song of worship. Father God, we come and we worship you now. Jesus, you are our living hope. You stood in the gap. You took all our sin onto you. You died for our sins. You're our indestructible Saviour. You know, we're going to sing it in a moment. "Out of the silence came the roaring lion." Yours is the victory. And that's why you're our living hope today. Lord, challenges come into our lives. We've seen this in Abraham's life. It came so unexpectedly. Some challenges come into our life. We never go looking for them, Lord, because they're so hard and they're so painful. There are other challenges that come into our life because we rise up and we step up and we walk in to what you're calling us into. Lord, our prayer is that whether we've gone looking for it or not gone looking for it, you would grow us, Lord. Keep making us more like you. Help us to keep our gaze on you through the challenges that we face, worshipping you through it all. And so, Holy Spirit, we just pray and ask that you would just come now. Where everyone is at right now, whatever time of the day it may be, where they're sitting in their couch with their coffee in their hand, sitting with their pyjamas still on, wherever they're at right now, Holy Spirit, come and minister into their life. Be present. You're our living hope. Jesus, my living hope. And we come and we worship you now to give you all the glory in your name. Amen. Let us worship God together.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning in worshiping and praising the one true God, looking to Him, fixing our eyes on Him and relying on Him. And we have more opportunity for that tonight at 6:30 for our Zoom prayer time. The details are the same as they have been the previous weeks. But if you need those details, message Al or the staff team and we will send you those details. But you know, just as Ezra, a baby Ezra, so peaceful, just as he relies completely and utterly on Chloe and myself to care for him, he's so dependent upon us. My prayer is that we would be like that with God, that we would always be looking to him, relying on him, so utterly, completely dependent upon him. And if you've never joined the Zoom prayer time, make tonight the first time that you join with us in the prayer time, interceding for this fallen world. So much that we have to be praying about. And might we truly be a people of prayer. I'll see you tonight. God bless you.